Raise your hand if you are drowning in family pictures. So many pics. But I just found this thing that helps to organize them. Yeah, I'm a late adopter. No shame. And I'm going to test drive Google Photos facial recognition technology. And then we're going to talk to somebody real smart about it. I'm plowing through Google Photos. This is where our family shares our pictures. And you know what? It recognizes faces. So, okay, here's a picture of my brother. And then Google puts up another picture. And it asks me, same or different person? So, yep, that's him. So I click same. Puts up another picture. Yep, that's him again. Same. And the machine learns. And it turns out this software also recognizes our dog Duke. The Duke pictures, the Duke videos, and rest his soul. We said goodbye to Duke this past year. He was 17. And now Google Photos puts all our dog pics together. This, as you know, is what's called facial recognition. Cops use it, say, to nab suspects based on their faces, their cars, their clothes. There are a lot of use cases. But the person we're going to talk to now is highly critical. AI scholar and activist Joy Bulamwini is founder of the Algorithmic Justice League. Her book is Unmasking AI, My Mission to Protect What is Human in a World of Machines. Joy Bulamwini, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I have so many questions for you. You began your journey as a scholar, as an enamored techie, seems to me, researching, building new things at MIT and elsewhere. And you're now an activist and skeptic of some of this technology. And one key moment is when you learned in college that a facial recognition program could not recognize your dark-skinned face. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so I was a graduate student at the MIT Media Lab, and I was so excited to be at this epicenter of innovation. And this class project used some face tracking software. And as I was testing it, it didn't work that well for me until I literally put on a white mask over my dark skin.
Help us understand what was happening. Were most of the faces in the database that fed into the program white faces? And is that why it couldn't read yours?
That was the question that I had. Was it just my face or something more? And the data sets we often found were largely male and largely pale individuals. So you had a lot of pale male data.
We're seeing facial recognition used today by police departments, by court systems, trying to predict based on this data whether a defendant will commit a future crime, assign bond limits and flight risk. I mean, this is real life here.
Absolutely. In fact, despite years of warning about the dangers of facial recognition technologies in particular, you had Portia Woodruff, who was arrested 8 months pregnant for a carjacking. She was in a holding cell and she reported having contractions. And this was all due to AI-powered facial recognition misidentification.
If this to some degree is a data problem, can it be addressed, fixed with better data?
Even if these systems were perfectly accurate, which they are not, if they were, we're creating tools for mass surveillance that in the hands of an authoritarian state can be used in very devastating ways. And what I like to say is accurate systems can be abused. So now let's think of a drone with a gun and facial recognition. We're asking, do we even want that system to exist in the first place? Mm-hmm. And it goes beyond a question of data set bias or the accuracy of the model, but greater questions about what kind of society do we want to live in and what kinds of technologies do we permit in that society?
Facial recognition is also used by banks to make sure credit card users are the actual users and not thieves. This is being used by universities to give online exams and make sure the test takers are the people they are. And it's used by Interpol to track global terrorism suspects. And when you kind of think about the question that you put out there, should we have this technology in the first place? How does that discussion go? Because I can imagine it can get nuanced in a hurry.
Well, I understand why if a tool is positioned to you as it will make your life more convenient, it will make things more efficient, that is the selling point. These companies aren't going to tell you about the risk.
Do you think it's something society should do without, period?
I absolutely believe we should ban the use of facial recognition for face surveillance. And I am really heartened to see in the EU that one of the red lines, because of both discrimination and privacy concerns, is banning the live use of facial recognition in public places. So what I'm saying is we actually have to test these systems mm-hmm. to make sure they're fit for purpose. We can't just buy into the marketing narrative or the AI hype and assume it's going to work simply because a company told us this is what it's supposed to do. So I'm saying we need to be more rigorous. We need to have more scrutiny. So yes, there are areas that are red lines, and then there are other areas that could be an opportunity.
So is the framework you're suggesting is society, and maybe the Europeans have done some of this with their data privacy law, society has to understand what the technology is, what the use is, and ask some of these questions, whether it crosses a widely accepted red line before allowing the product out there?
Absolutely. So I am advocating for the precautionary principle. We don't just drink it without knowing the ingredients. We are in a bit of a mystery meat phase when it comes to AI. We don't know the sources. Or as Professor Virginia Dingdom recently said, AI in some ways is like a car being driven by a driver without a license on roads without traffic lights with no safety inspections. We're not saying we can't have vehicles, but we do realize that for vehicles to have a benefit and to reduce the harms, there have to be guardrails in place. And so it is so when it comes to AI.
Is there a possibility the guardrails, if they're affixed too narrowly, as say the technology optimist might say, you know, when the original internet came out, we didn't even know what it would be used for, or the steam engine, or the printing press. And so if the guardrails are set too narrow, you're going to slow what a technology could be.
Again, this is talking about the hypothetical benefits when we know the real harms. And so I think the guardrails we can put in place are quite sensible. If you're using AI in a high-risk situation, like determining if someone gets a job or not, if somebody gets an organ transplant, of course we should slow down and make sure we have tested the system. I think about something like social media. It was the same thing. Oh, we don't know what it's going to be yet. We don't need regulations. And now we see the disinformation. Now we see the impact on mental health, all of these problems. We can learn from that. And that's the opportunity we have ahead of us.
You know, we spoke on this program with an AI professor at the Wharton School of Business, Ethan Mollick. And he certainly acknowledges some of the risks that you've been talking about. He argues, however, you know what? AI is here. So for us individuals, he says, before you pass judgment, try it out. Give it 10 hours to know what it is and what it isn't, what its assets, what its liabilities are. What do you think of that?
I would say if you have 10 hours to play around with a chatbot, I would spend that time reading the privacy policy. I would spend some of that time
the
looking
fine
at
print.
The terms. The fine print, yes. Who benefits when we are using these tools? What's happening with your data? Because it's not really just like you're in the playground in some sandbox. You really can find yourself in quicksand depending on the application type. And so I understand what he's saying in terms of there are new tools out here. You don't have to approach it with just fear. There are possibilities for how those tools could be used in a beneficial way. So it's not saying every possible use is terrible, but it's saying we have to proceed with caution.
We've been talking to Joy Bolemwini. She's author of the national bestseller, Unmasking AI, My Mission to Protect What is Human in a World of Machines. Joy Bolemwini, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.